Over the course of its work, the commission inducted a growing circle of the TRC honorary witnesses. The role has been to bear official witness to the testimonies of survivors, of their families, former school staff, and their descendants. Government and church officials, and any other whose lives have been affected by the residential schools beyond the work of the TRC, the honorary witnesses have pledged their commitment to the ongoing work of reconciliation between Aboriginal and non-Aboriginal peoples. We also encouraged everyone who attended the TRC national events or community hearings to see themselves as witnesses also, with an obligation to find ways of making reconciliation a concrete reality in their own lives, communities, schools, and workplaces. As Elder Jim Dumont explained at the Traditional Knowledge Keepers Forum in June 2014, in Ojibwe thinking, to speak the truth is to actually speak from the heart. At the community hearing in Key First Nation, Saskatchewan in 2012, survivor Wilfred Whitehawk told us that he was glad that he disclosed his abuse. "I don't regret it because it taught me something. It taught me how to talk about truth, about me, to be honest about who I am. I am very proud of who I am today. It took me a long time, but I'm there. And what I have, my values and belief systems, are mine, and no one is going to impose theirs on me. And no one today is going to take advantage of me, man or woman, the government or the RCMP, because I have a voice today. I can speak for me, and no one can take that away." Survivor and the child of survivors, Fidelene Elise Jenner, said, "I'm quite happy to be able to share my story. I want the people of Canada to hear, to listen, for it is the truth. I also want my grandchildren to learn from me, that yes, it did happen." Another descendant of survivors, Daniel Elliott, told the commission, "I think all Canadians need to stop and take a look, and to not look away. Yeah, it's embarrassing. Yeah, it's an ugly part of our history. We don't want to know about it. What I want to see from that commission is to rewrite the history books so that other generations will understand and not go through the same thing that we were going through now, like it never happened." President of the Métis National Council, Clement Chartier, spoke to the commission about the importance of truth to justice and reconciliation. At the Saskatchewan National event, he said, "The truth is important, so I'll try to address the truth and a bit about reconciliation as well. The truth is that the Métis Nation, represented by the Métis National Council, is not a part to the Indian Residential Schools Settling Agreement. And the truth is that the exclusion of the Métis Nation, or the Métis as people, is reflected throughout this whole period, not only in the Indian Residential School Settlement Agreement, but in the apology made by Canada as well. We are, however, the products of the same assimilationist policy that the federal government foisted upon the Treaty Indian kids. So there ought to be some solution. The Métis boarding schools, residential schools, are excluded, and we need to ensure that everyone was aware of that, and that hopefully some point down the road you'll be able to advocate and get to know the governments or whoever is responsible to accept responsibility and to move forward on a path to reconciliation. Because reconciliation should be for all Aboriginal peoples and not only some Aboriginal peoples." At the British Columbia National event, the former Lieutenant Governor of British Columbia, the Honorable Stephen Point, said, "And so many of you have said today, so many of the witnesses that came forward said, I cannot forgive. I am not ready to forgive. And I wondered why. Reconciliation is about hearing the truth, that's for sure. It's also about acknowledging that the truth and acknowledging that what you've said is true, accepting responsibility for your pain and putting those children back in the place they would have been had they not been taken from their homes. What are these blockages to reconciliation? The continuing poverty in our communities and the failure of our government to recognize that, yes, we own the land, stop the destruction of our territories, and for God's sake, stop the death of so many of our women on highways across this country. I'm going to continue talking about reconciliation, but just as important, I'm going to foster healing in our own people so that our children can avoid this pain, can avoid this destruction, and finally take our rightful place in this, our Canada. When former residential school staff attended public TRC events, some thought it was the most important to hear directly from survivors, even if their own perspectives and memories about the schools might differ from those as the survivors. At the community hearing in Thunder Bay, Ontario, Meryl Neasley, who worked at at Poplar Hill Residential School in the early 1970s, said, "I think it would be valuable for people who have been involved in the schools to hear their stories personally. And I also think it would be valuable, when it's appropriate, for former students who are on the path to healing to hear some of our stories or to hear some of our perspectives. But I know that's a very difficult thing to do. Certainly, this is not the time to try and ask all those former students to sit down and listen to the rationale of the former staff, because there's just too much emotion. And there's too little trust. You can't do things like this, that when there's low levels of trust. So I think a really important thing is for former staff to hear the stories and to be courageous enough just to hear them. When wrongs were done, where abuses happened, where punishment was over the top, and wherever sexual abuse happened, somehow we need to courageously sit and talk about that and apologize. I don't know how that will happen." Neasley's reflections highlighted one of the difficulties the commission faced during trying to create a space for a respectful dialogue between former residential students and staff. While in most cases this was possible, in other instances, survivors and their family members found it very difficult to listen to former staff, particularly if they perceived the speaker to be an apologist for the schools. At the TRC Victorial Regional Event, Brother Tom Kavanaugh, the District Superior of the Oblates of Mary, Immaculate for British Columbia in the Yukon, spoke about his time as a supervisor at the Christie Residential School. "What I experienced over the 6 years I was at Christie Residential School was a staff, native and non-natives alike, working together to provide as much possible a safe, loving environment for children who were attending Christie School. Was it a perfect situation? No, it wasn't a perfect situation. But again, there didn't seem to be anything at that time, any other viable alternative in providing a good education for so many children who lived in relatively small and isolated communities." Survivors and family members who were presented in the audience spoke out, saying, "The truth, tell the truth." Brother Kavanaugh replied, "If you give me a chance, I will tell you the truth." When the TRC chair, Joyce Murray, intervened to ask the audience to allow Brother Kavanaugh to finish his statement, he was able to do so without further interruption. Visibly shaken, Kavanaugh then went on acknowledging that the children had also been abused in the schools, and he condemned such actions, expressing his sorrow and regret for this breach of trust. "I can honestly say that our men are hurting too. Because of the abuse scandal and the rift this has created so much between the First Nations and the church representatives. Many of our own men who are still working with First Nations have attended various truth and reconciliation sessions, as well as returning to spirit sessions, hoping to bring about healing for all concerned. The Oblates desire healing for the abused and not for all touched by the past breach of trust. It is our hope that together we can continue to build a better society." Later that same day, Ina Setcher, who attended the Christie Residential School, painted a very different picture of the school from what Brother Kavanaugh had described. "I went to Christie Residential School. This morning I heard a priest talk about Christie Residential School. I want to tell him about my Christie Residential School. I went there for 10 months. 10 months that impacted my life for 50 years. I am just now on my healing journey. I need to do this. I need to speak out. I need to speak for my mom and dad who went to residential school, for my aunts and uncles, all that are beyond now. All the pain of our people, the hurt and the anger, that the priest that talked about how loving that Christie residential school was, it was not. That priest was most likely in his office, not knowing what was going on down in the dorms or in the lunchroom. There were things that happened at Christie Residential School, and like I said, I'm just starting my healing journey. There are doors that I don't even want to open. I don't even want to open those doors because I know what's going to do to me. These two seemingly irreconcilable truths are a stark reminder that there are no easy shortcuts to reconciliation. The fact that there are few direct exchanges at TRC events between survivors and former school staff indicates that for many, the time for reconciliation had not yet arrived. Indeed, for some, it may never arrive. At the Manitoba National event in 2010, survivor Evelyn Brockwood talked about why it's important to ensure that there's adequate time for healing to occur in the truth reconciliation process. She said, "When this came out at the beginning, I believed it was 1990s about residential schools. People coming out with their stories, and I thought the term, the words they were using, were true. Healing and reconciliation. But somehow it seems like we are going from the telling the truth to reconciliation, to reconcile with our white brothers and sisters. My brothers and sisters, we have a lot of work to do in the middle. We should really lift up the word healing. Go slow. We are going too fast. Too fast. We have many tears to shed before we even get to the words reconciliation. To determine the truth and to tell the full and complete story of the residential schools in this country, the TRC needed to hear from the survivors and their families, former staff, government, and church officials, and all those affected by residential schools. Canada's national history in the future must be based on truth about what happened in the residential schools. 150 years from now, our children's children and their children must know and still remember this history, because they will inherit from us the responsibility of ensuring that it will never happen again." What is reconciliation? During the course of the Commission's work, it has become clear that the concept of reconciliation means different things to different people, communities, institutions, and organizations. The TRC mandate describes reconciliation as an ongoing individual and collective process and will require commitment from all those affected, including First Nations, Inuit, Métis, former Indian residential school students, and their families, communities, religious entities, former school employees, government, and the people of Canada. Reconciliation may occur between any of the above groups. The Commission defines reconciliation as an ongoing process of establishing and maintaining respectful relationships. A critical part of this process involves repairing damaged trust by making apologies, providing individual and collective reparations, and following through with concrete actions that demonstrate real societal change. Establishing respectful relationships also requires the revitalization of Indigenous law and legal traditions. It is important that all Canadians understand how traditional First Nations, Inuit, and Métis approach to resolve this conflict. Repairing the harm and restoring relationships can form during the reconciliation process. Traditional knowledge keepers and elders have long dealt with conflicts and harms using spiritual ceremonies and peacemaking practices, and by retelling the oral history stories that reveal how their ancestors restored harmony to families and their communities. These traditions and practices are the foundation of Indigenous law. They contain wisdom and practical guidance for moving towards reconciliation across this land. As First Nations, Inuit, and Métis communities access the revitalization, their spiritual cultures, languages, laws, and governance systems and as non-Aboriginal Canadians increasingly come to understanding Indigenous history within Canada and to recognize and respect Indigenous approaches to establishing and maintaining respectful relationships, Canadians can work together to forge a new covenant of reconciliation. Despite the ravages of colonialism, every Indigenous nation across the country, each with its own distinctive culture and language, has kept its legal traditions and peacemaking practices alive in its community. While elders and knowledge keepers across the land have told us that there is no specific word for reconciliation, in their own languages there are many words, stories, and songs, as well as sacred objects such as the wampum, belts, peace pipes, eagle down, cedar bows, drums, and regalia that are used to establish relationships, repair conflict, restore harmony, and make peace. The ceremonies and protocols of the Indigenous laws are still remembered and practiced in many Aboriginal communities. At the TRC Traditional Knowledge Keepers Forum in June 2014, the TRC Survivor Committee member and elder Barney Williams told us that, "From the sea to sea, we hear words that allude to what is reconciliation? What does healing or forgiveness mean? And how there's parallels to all those words that the Creator gave to all the nations. When I listen and reflect on the voices of the ancestors, your ancestors, I hear my ancestors alluding to the same thing with a different dialect. My understanding of reconciliation comes from a place and time when there was no English spoken. From my grandmother, who was born in the 1800s, I really felt privileged to have been chosen by my grandmother to be the keeper of our knowledge. What do we need to do? We need to go back to the ceremony and embrace the ceremony as part of moving forward. We need to understand the laws of our people."